First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, coming up on the one-year anniversary of this podcast, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with the entire history, but it used to be called Eye of the Sports Guy. That was the initial name, and the higher-ups decided it made me sound a little bi-curious. So we canceled that, and we renamed it the BS Report. And the first one was on May 8th, 2007. I had Mark Stein on. I can't say it was one of my better performances. In fact, I had no idea what I was doing. And it took a while to become mediocre, but I think I'm there. I think I am now a mediocre podcast talent. But we've had some really good guests, actually an amazing slate of guests. And so we thought it would be funny to have the first annual BS Report Awards, and interesting to see what people like the most. So we separated it to four categories, which was best celebrity guest, best media guest, best buddy, and then podcast of the year. And if you want to vote for any of those, you can go to sportsguy.net, which is the page I have on ESPN.com, and you can vote for any of those four. So far, we had 20,000 people voted, which I was shocked by, and a lot of Jack O fans. Jack O is really the only one runaway winner so far in any of the categories. He's got two-thirds of the votes, which I was shocked by. But anyway, before we get to him, we're going to call him and see how he's doing as the Yankees season just continues to collapse. I did want to thank Joe Mead, who's been my producer for the podcast for most of the past year. And also Ronald Jenkins, who wrote the song that you hear in the beginning of the podcast that we've used for the whole year. And he has all the sound bites, and he's the one who screams yeah at the end. And eventually we're going to have him on. Maybe we'll have him on next week. I don't know why we haven't had him on yet. In the meantime, we're going to give my buddy Jack O a call for America's favorite running segment. Johnny, are you worried yet? Let's give him a ring.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Johnny!
Willie?
How you feeling? You're running away with the BS Report Awards.
Am I really?
The best buddy. You have almost two-thirds of the vote.
Wow. This is amazing. It's an honor just to be nominated with people like Joe House, who I love.
I'm waiting for House's concession speech.
You know, should I be lucky enough to win and sustain this vote, I can't decide whether I should go with the Sally Field, you like me, you really like me, or do I just go James Cameron, I'm the king of the world, that type of thing.
I think you do that and try to antagonize some of the people who voted for you.
I'm not counting any chickens yet, by the way. I shouldn't talk victory speeches. When does the voting close?
The voting closes before next week's podcast, so we got like a week.
All right.
But the J-Bug has already given his concession speech. He's like the Dennis Kucinich of this whole thing.
Well, let me just say to my supporters, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Si se puede. Si se puede.
Hey, Johnny, since we're coming up on the one-year anniversary and you're probably going to win the Best Buddy Award, we have a little something special for you.
Really?
Yeah, a little production. We had a little production to the Johnny, Are You Worried segment yet. And instead of me asking the question, we have this.
Hey, Johnny. Are you worried yet?
What do you think?
Wow, exciting stuff. It's a little provocative.
Thank you. Thank you.
Exciting. Is that a celebrity voice or not really?
No, that's one of our super cool voices that we have behind the scenes at ESPN.
Wow, that's good.
So as the lady asked, Johnny, are you worried yet?
Oh, God, yeah, extremely. This team is a complete train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck. And to be honest with you, there's about five guys on the team that I like, and I absolutely despise the rest of the team.
Well, let's talk about who you like.
I can tell you, I like Jeter, because you have to like Jeter. He's the captain. I like Jeter. I like Jabba Chamberlain, who I have an absolute man crush on. And I'm happy his father's out of the hospital. I can stop my candlelight vigil that I've been conducting. I love Jeter. I love Jabba. You have to love Mariano Rivera. I love Pettit. And this is really shocking. And if you told me 5 years ago I'd be saying this, I'd have said you were crazy. But Jorge Posada is the fifth one.
Wow.
And I literally hate everyone else on the team. I cannot put into words strongly enough how much I dislike Jason Giambi and the money that he has stolen from the Yankees organization and the amount of misery that he has caused me in his 5 years or whatever, 6, 7 years with the Yankees. It's abysmal.
So he's number one. He's number one on the list.
I hate him. I hate Phil Hughes and Ian Kennedy. I want Brian Cashman not just fired but arrested because of his idiocy of not getting Johan Santana because we have these wonderful diamonds in the rough. Yeah, not so much, apparently. Not so much. At a combined 0-7 with an ERAs over 9. Oh, my God. Every time Santana goes out and strikes out 10, it breaks my heart a little bit more. I die a little inside. Oh, God.
A-Rod. Who else?
A-Rod is, you know, I'm convinced early in the season when he hits a pitch that's up near his eyes into the black almost at Yankee Stadium that he's worth every penny. He's the best player in baseball. He's a colossal choke artist who never comes through in big situations. Mike Mussina is a whiny crybaby who's so done it's ridiculous. Qingming Wang is some kind of an odd loner based on that SI article. Did you read that SI article about Qingming Wang?
Yeah, that article, usually they'll try to sugarcoat it and say, like, keeps to himself, but he's a good guy. That one just openly made him sound like a serial killer.
It really did. Like, someday we're going to read about, like, the bodies buried in Qingming Wang's backyard. It's going to be troubling. It's so weird. It said he's been weird always. Like, on his high school team, they'd go on field trips or whatever, away games, everybody's hanging out, and he's off, like, staring into the river by himself.
Yeah.
And he basically, like, talks to nobody on the Yankees. That's always a great sign that he, like, has no friends at all on the Yankees, like, none.
Yeah, they couldn't even find, like, two people for quotes about him because nobody even knew him well enough to, like, offer a one-sentence assessment of what it was like to play with him.
Right. And it's not just, like, a language thing because, you know, Matsui is Japanese and he gets along with everybody on the team and they all have stories about him. And
that's because he is the porn, though.
Well, that's true, too.
They know that if they need a video, that's who they go to. I don't know if Qingming has that same kind of credibility with them.
But Matsui got into the thing with the bet that Jeter and Abreu had over who was going to get married first, and then he went and, like, just married some woman that he only has, like, an artist sketch of or something, that weird story you had a link to.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like the language thing is a barrier for Matsui if you want to hang out with guys. So that was troubling. Who else plays on the team?
How about Kyle Farnsworth and LaTroy Hawkins for a combined $9.6 million for those two?
God almighty. I mean, we've suffered with Farnsworth for years now. He's just absolutely abysmal, and his contract can't expire quickly enough. But then to go out and compound the problem by signing LaTroy Hawkins, who's been just absolutely god-awful.
Right.
But you don't really expect anything from guys like that are career, like, you know, journeyman short guys, you know?
Hey, as you torch the entire Yankees roster, don't forget Carl Pavano on the roster for $11 million this year.
Sure.
Don't leave him out of your venom.
How can I forget? I mean, as I said at the time when they didn't get Santana, you have Cashman as the guy that's making decisions on pitching. The guy that gave us Keigawa and Pavano and Arabu and every other miserable pitcher they've had for years, Javier Vasquez, Contreras, all these guys down the line. Can they have one decent pitcher in the last 10 years? One? Can they have one?
It is a little weird. They haven't, 0-8, 0-9?
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Red Sox, Lester yesterday out-pitches Roy Halladay. You had this kid Masterson that they brought up last week they lost the game because the bullpen blew up, but the kid was great for 6 innings. They have Buchholz, who's, you know, he lost in Tampa Bay on Saturday night, but he pitched like a complete game, like 2-hitter?
Yeah.
3-hitter?
Pretty good.
I mean, would you rather have Buchholz and Lester or Kennedy and Hughes?
Well, you also left out Kevin Brown and Randy Johnson.
Yeah, Kevin, right, because my therapist has successfully given me hypnosis that I forgot all about those two.
So you're down on Bobby Abreu.
Well,
you wouldn't
Bobby
put him
Abreu,
in the hate category.
I wouldn't put him in the hate category, but he just really does nothing for me. I mean, he's okay, but
takes
he's not worth
pitches.
$16 million a year.
Takes a lot of pitches.
Yeah, that's great. But, I mean, I don't know. Bobby Abreu is really nothing to write home about.
Where does Johnny Damon rank?
Oh, abysmal. Awful. I mean, I can kill myself on this because I was happy when they signed him and got him away from the Red Sox. But he's awful. He can't throw. His body's broken down. I mean, he's just a train wreck. He's a terrible leadoff hitter.
The Red Sox have actually done, other than Orlando Cabrera, a really nice job of cutting the cord at the right time with some of the guys they've had.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. And he's one of them. How about Robinson Cano?
Well, I think Robinson Cano is grossly overrated. This is 2 years in a row now. He's hitting a buck 50.
Slow starter.
2 years in a row. I understand these guys that are from South America. They don't like the cold weather, and maybe when it heats up, he'll get better. But I mean, you can't be the next Rod Carew and hitting 150 in April.
I'm kind of the same way. I heat up in the warm weather.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I had to move from Boston.
So
the cold weather, I was just performing badly.
Right.
One more guy.
All right.
Wait, we left out somebody here.
We didn't talk about anybody in the outfield. I mean, Matsui doesn't do anything for me. Cabrera is okay.
Yeah, Melky.
I don't hate Cabrera. I shouldn't say that I hate everybody on the team. I don't hate Cabrera.
You're bitter. You're lashing out.
I am bitter and lashing out.
How about Ross Ohlendorf? Have you enjoyed his work?
You know, I had trouble with my Ohlendorf, but then the doctor was able to correct it.
Hench and I picked him up in our fantasy team and benched him right before he self-destructed this week and lost one game and gave up like 7 runs in the other one.
He came back to the Yanks in the Randy Johnson trade, so that's
right.
One of these trades that hurt both teams. I mean, he's okay, but, you know, if you're counting on Ross Ohlendorf, then you're in some trouble, you know.
Well, unfortunately, you are counting on Ross Ohlendorf.
And we're in some trouble. Point well made. Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it doesn't look good, Johnny.
No, now A-Rod's hurt and Posada's hurt and their catcher last night. I mean, I was watching the game and he doesn't even know the signals or he and Hughes are mixing up the signals. He's standing up and the ball's hitting the ground. I mean, it's like the Bad News Bears. It's really just awful. If they go 500, it'll be a victorious season. If they go 500, Girardi should get manager of the year in the American League.
You're 14-14.
Right. That's pretty much what we're looking at all year.
What was it, 2 years ago, or was it last year when they started off slow and you were in the same I hate everybody mode and then they rallied? Was that two years ago?
It was last year.
Last year?
The Red Sox had like a 14-game lead at some point and the Yanks closed it to 2, made a run. But
so you don't see that happening this year?
I don't. I mean, the one good thing for them is that pretty much everybody is bad this year. Like, there's really no breakout teams. I guess the Diamondbacks are good, but I mean, yeah, the Red Sox are okay. They're up and down, you know.
We got killed by that Japan trip, as everybody predicted.
It kills everybody.
Did you know the Orioles are in first place?
I know. The Orioles raised battle for first.
The Orioles. Gotta be kidding me. And somehow Toronto. Toronto is the team that I thought if the Sox and Yanks stumbled, that Toronto would be the team that snuck in. And
yeah, everybody.
Terrible.
Yeah, they're awful. And they had a good point. I heard something yesterday about Toronto has like more bad breakups than Seinfeld. I mean,
yeah. You
know, like what's his name, Shea Hillenbrand, and people. Ted Lilly's getting into fistfights with the manager, and Frank Thomas is like never said boo to anybody. Like he leaves in ugliness. Like what happens in Toronto? What's up with their manager or their GM? It's really ugly in Toronto all the time.
Yeah, it's not a feel good atmosphere.
Maybe because it's cold up there.
I have to say, I do enjoy that Tampa Bay has even progressed beyond frisky. And
yeah.
now is legitimately competitive. I think it's nice after 27 years of building as an expansion franchise or however long it's been.
There's actual stirring in Tampa Bay yesterday in your chat. Somebody actually had like a Tampa, could this be the year for my Rays question or something? I don't know where it was crazy.
It's weird to see them have a closer that can actually come in and have a 1-2-3 inning and win the game.
And I was actually reading on the about the Red Sox game in the paper, and it said like there was actually an even mix of Rays fans and Red Sox fans down there, which is good to hear in your own home ballpark.
It was 8,000 for each side.
It's really good progress when your home base is not outnumbered. You know, it's good.
You and I have to road trip, I think, to Tampa because it's really an experience. Everything about it. I did a photo.
Your photo essay.
Website. Yeah,
I remember.
I mean, but you can't totally capture what it's like to go to those games in a photo essay. I mean, you really have to see it, and you have to see how old the fans are and how just decrepit that stadium is.
Let me know ahead of time so I can invest in a Hawaiian shirt so I can look like everyone else in the stadium.
Yeah, that'd be
a Tommy Bahama shirt, whatever it was that everybody, the old people are wearing, yeah.
Do
you think we could be able to get some tickets?
I think we could.
Good seats available?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird to scalp from a 70-year-old person, but you learn to enjoy it and embrace it. So who do you think, if there was a gun to your head right now, and God...
And at the rate this is going, there may be.
It sounds like that could happen.
It must be my own gun, yeah.
Who do you think is coming out of the AL? Because I am just perplexed.
The Angels.
God, really?
It's going to be Angels, Red Sox, and the ALCS. And it wouldn't shock me to see the Red Sox.
I don't see the Angels at all.
I don't know. The Angels look good against the Red Sox, and then they went and lost to Oakland 14-2. But I don't know. I think the Angels are a little frisky. They got some pitching, and they got Vlad. And yeah, I don't know. I like the Angels. I mean, I don't like the Angels, but that's my pick.
I think it's going to be the Red Sox. And yeah, I'm saying that as the homer pick. I just think they're
really?
Sick. Well,
it's really going out on a limb with your Celtics pick for the NBA championship, your Garnett for MVP, the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Really, you think the Red Sox?
I do. It's my expert opinion. Well, here's the thing. We're 16-12 right now, and it's been like, you know, everybody has reacted like this month was just a complete disaster and a debacle, but it's not going to get worse than the month of April, and they're 16-12. So I actually see things getting better. And once Masterson comes up, you know, and they get, however, 15, 16 starts out of him. And
the Big Shill.
Big mid-season, wow.
Big mid-season replacement.
We're not banking on him. I'm glad he found time to film the Costas Now piece last night, though. That was good.
Did he really? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he was available.
Good. Costas and Kurt Schilling. I'll be tuning in for that one, too. My favorites.
Oh, you have to watch that Costas Now show.
All right.
They did it's all about different things. They actually asked me to be on. I said no, but they had a section about the internet and the blogosphere, and for some reason Buzz Bissinger was on.
Really?
And you can't even adequately describe what he was like in this. They had the guy from Deadspin on it, and Buzz Bissinger it was unbelievable. Like, really laid into him, but not in a way that really flattered himself. Like,
really?
He was kind of like a pit bull. He went nuts, and it was really one of the most bizarre 15 minutes I think that's ever been on TV.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I would demand that if I were you. Yeah.
All right, I will look for that.
Hey,
you're
speaking
always turning things down. You're like the modern-day Greta Garbo. You're like, they asked me to be on it, but I didn't want to. I could have gone to the Real World reunion, but I didn't go. They made me do E60. You should get out there more.
I can't think of anything worse than flying cross country to appear on a panel about blogging.
You're like a shut-in.
I am. Well, my electronic tracking bracelet, I can't leave the neighborhood.
You're like Howard Hughes. They're just going to be like, just on speakerphone, so people will be able to talk to you.
Hey, what were we talking about yesterday on the phone that we said save it for the podcast?
The Celtics?
Oh, yeah.
I jinxed the Celtics by watching the entire fourth quarter of game four.
Yeah, you jumped on that. And
the most Celtics game I've watched since, actually, you and I have gone to some games, but the most I've watched on TV since Larry Bird's retirement.
You jumped in and immediately the wheels came off.
Pretty much. They had a 10-point lead at the third quarter, and I'm like, ooh, I'll watch all these bandwagon fans in Atlanta completely lose interest for another 5 years. And then the fourth quarter was just ugly.
Did you enjoy the performance of the Atlanta fans?
Yeah, I really did. As soon as people explained to them when to cheer, like the PA announcer told them, they really seemed into it. Of course, they couldn't name three players on the team, but it's good to see the interest down there. First of all, Atlanta's like known as the worst sports city in America.
Yes.
They don't care about anybody but the Braves. And even then, it's only like if they're into October.
Right.
And there's still good seats available for playoffs as recently as a couple years ago for the playoffs. And to see people there, like, I mean, after Mike Bibby talked about the Celtics fans hopping on the bandwagon, I mean, at least there's been like a history of people being really into the Celtics. The Hawks have no history, but no fan base. And to see this like raucous arena with everybody waving the white towels or whatever, you know, and cheering and confetti and the crowd's been on its feet the whole fourth quarter, really, because they were looking to leave probably when they were down 10 and decided just to keep standing. It was a joke.
They're on their feet in the fourth quarter because after the third quarter they thought the game had ended.
That's right.
Do we have to go now? Oh no, one more quarter left, guys.
I mean, that was just ridiculous. So I watched that. And then, you know, it was good to hear Dick Stockton and Mike Fratello do some work again.
Did you hear the part when Dick Stockton, in crunch time, when he called Joe Johnson Dennis Johnson?
He did. He's like, Dennis Johnson comes up to court. Yeah, I was worried that, you know, after that, when the Celtics had like they were down three and Atlanta was inbounding the ball, and I was afraid he was going to pull out the Johnny Most Bird stole the ball if there was a steal by Pierce or something, you know?
Yeah. Dennis Johnson killed me. He also called Al Horford Tito Horford in game two.
Did he really?
Yeah, a couple times. It's
hey, Dick Stockton.
It's fun to have my dad announcing basketball games.
At least he didn't call Mike Fratello Leslie.
He might have. We just may not have heard that.
Maybe after the game, yeah.
So you sent me an email today Very upset that I'm not watching The Real World Hollywood, claiming that it's a phenomenal season so far.
I've only watched one show, but yes, I've only watched the first episode, but that's all it took to get me right in. I mean, first of all, I think that the setting has just brought out some of the more loathsome people they've ever had, because everybody's completely on the make and just wants to be, like, in the movies or on TV.
Well, they did. They finally crossed the stripper line, which I never thought they'd cross.
They did, yeah, right.
One of the roommates is a stripper. Never thought they'd go that far.
They really did. She wasn't afraid. And one part was funny, because one guy kind of liked her and thought, like, she seemed nice and they had a lot of things in common. And then he, like, found out she was a stripper and he completely recoiled. Like, that was, like, out of bounds for him. Like, he couldn't possibly think of that, you know?
Yeah.
It was really incredible. But they have this other guy that was like the internet tick, and he's so phony and so completely made for TV, but he's really like doing a character, and it's interesting to see because he's like really super serious and has an odd sense of humor, such as it is, and calls himself the perfection and the chosen one. I mean, it's something else to see. It's really something to behold.
So you think it's a little method acting on his part?
Oh my God, yeah. I think it's like a science experiment that he's doing to see like if I could just be the most over-the-top annoying person ever on TV, like how would others react to me and how would America react to me? It's kind of an interesting sociological experiment.
Well, they're reacting strongly because I'm getting a lot of emails about it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Probably not in a positive vein.
I think people are confused whether it's an act or whether he's really this bad.
Oh, I can't believe people think that that's for real in any way, shape, or form.
Well,
you watched the first couple episodes, although you claim you're locked out.
I watched the first two. I locked out after two.
I mean, you see it as a complete act, don't you?
It's tough to sustain that for 4 months. I mean, I don't even think De Niro could do that.
Maybe he's the greatest actor of our generation, this guy.
Maybe he's the new Denzel Washington. But, all right. Well, we only have a little time left, so let's get back to baseball for a second.
All right. That was an odd segue.
I'm sorry.
You're jumping around. It's all right.
They push me to keep these things under an hour. I get in trouble.
I understand.
I'm wordy. I'm loquacious.
Yes, you say things over and over.
You're not worried about the Red Sox yet?
Worried about the Red Sox?
I mean, running away with this in the month of May.
I think that eventually they'll run away with it, but I think it'll take a little while. I think they have to shake off the sake hangover from Japan or whatever.
Do you see a panic trade in the Yankees' future?
No, because I think Brian Cashman is inept, and I think that the ownership is inept, and I don't think they're really swift enough to pull that off. I think they're going to try and sell people, and this is a rebuilding year, and they're going to wait until next year when they don't have to pay Giambi and Farnsworth anymore, and they have some more money to play with. I think that's the plan.
So you don't see Hank panicking?
Oh, I think Hank is a complete... Hank's going to have to be locked in a straitjacket in a rubber room, but at this point, I mean, who are they going to panic trade for? Who's out there? I mean, I think
that's
what they're going to try and do is they're going to probably try and sign Mark Teixeira next year to play first, and he'll be a big bat and try and do something in the outfield. They probably aren't going to re-sign Abreu at that price, you know? They have no first baseman, so it's perfect for Teixeira, who grew up as a Mattingly fan, and... I mean, they'll probably, God help me if they do this, but they'll probably make a run at CC Sabathia just because they feel they have to.
Mm.
And I think there'll be a train wreck for the next couple of years.
So you're writing off 2008?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
I think Brian Cashman, I was thinking about it this morning as I drove to work, and I was thinking about the game, and I was frustrated. It's like the Seinfeld where George decided if he did the opposite of everything, it would have worked out perfectly.
Right.
Cashman should do the Costanza. And if he had just done the opposite, like if he didn't sign Kayagawa, if he did trade Phil Hughes for Johan Santana, if he didn't sign Giambi, all these opposite things would have worked out great for the Yankees right now.
So you're saying he would make a decision.
Right. And then do the opposite of what he
said. Come to agreement on it and then do the opposite. Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You've won two of the last three.
Two of the last three what? AL Easts?
You've won two of the last three games.
Oh, two of the last three games. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a hot streak.
Sure, right, yeah. I'll be excited about that.
So what are you weighing in this week, then, out of 1 to 10? It sounds like you're at least a 9.
Yeah, I was going to say 8.5, but I'll go for 9. Why not?
So you were a 1. The last time we did this, which I think was 2 weeks ago.
It was 2 weeks ago. A lot's changed in 2 weeks, though. I've had a good chance to watch them and just be disgusted.
You've gone from a 1 to a 9.
Yeah, afraid so.
Do you feel like they're disgracing the last year of Yankee Stadium at all?
Yeah, that is disappointing to me. because they're going to have an all-star game at Yankee Stadium, and they're going to have, like, they'll have Rivera, and they'll have, like, a token Jeter will get in there or something. Mm. Maybe A-Rod will get voted in, but, I mean, you know, it's just a joke. It's a joke.
What do I do with Phil Hughes on my fantasy team?
Is there a AAA on your fantasy team?
We can not start him each week. Should we
do
that?
I would certainly encourage that, yeah.
He's been that bad?
He's awful. Hmm. Awful. And now he has, like, a good deer in the headlights look because he got booed off the stadium. I mean, we're dangerously close to, like, an Ed Whitson situation where he just is completely lost forever.
At least Ed Whitson beat the hell out of Billy Martin, though. He had that going for him.
That's true. I don't think Phil has that in him at age 21. But, I mean, you know, if he's the next great thing and he's constantly losing, his confidence is going to be shot, and he'll never amount to anything.
So you're saying, in retrospect, maybe a bad idea not to trade for the best pitcher in baseball and then put all the pressure on a 21-year-old kid in our biggest city in America.
I would say that is correct analysis, sir, yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Johnny. Congrats on your great performance so far in the BS Report Awards. And if you want to vote for Jack O, head to the website, SportsGuyWorld, www.sportsguy.net, and you can give him your vote.
All my fans out there, vote early and vote often. Si se puede, si se puede.
Are you going to have a vice president if you win the nomination for Best Buddy of the Year or no?
I haven't thought that far ahead, and like Barack Obama or Hillary, it's premature to talk about that until I secure the victory. So.
All right. Fair statement. We'll talk to you next week.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Target to sign off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.